Well, good morning. How is everybody? Doing good? All right. Once again, my name is Jason. I am not the tech guy, because that's a lot of hard work, and it is a lot of hard work. So thank you, Stephen, for all your hard work. I am one of the pastors here at Living Hope Bible Church, and in case you don't know, my primary role here is to shepherd our youth. Shout out to the youth. Love you guys. I love serving the youth, and I want to remind parents. I know you've been getting some emails from me. I try to get you every week. If you're not on my distribution list and you have a youth here at church, let me know. Mark your connection card because you should be getting my weekly email. We have a youth winter retreat coming up in February 16th, for a few nights. We're really excited about that. We do retreats to take students out of kind of their normal everyday life and put them into a brand new environment where they can grow in their relationship with God and with others. They can be challenged. They can be stretched. They just kind of get out of the normal rhythms of life and experience something new and exciting with God. So we're really excited about that. There is a cost because there's always a cost of doing things, but we want some you parents to know, just everyone to know, like, we don't want cost to be an issue. If there's any students or parents out there that, you know, the cost may be too much, let us know because we can always help. There's scholarships available. There's things that we can do. We don't want any student to miss out because of cost. And if you are just feeling like God is leading you to maybe give a little scholarship, we certainly welcome you to do that. We so appreciate it. So if you are interested in maybe helping out by giving a scholarship, go ahead and mark your connection card. You can go online. You can give that way through the church app. Just mark it for youth, and we'll receive it graciously, and we thank you so much for that. Okay, so that's our announcement on Winter Retreat. If you have any questions, just come find me after church. I'll be planted down here, and we can talk about it. But again, just wanted to hopefully get you excited about that, because we are. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your word, Lord. May it illuminate our lights this morning, and may we just learn from you, and may it strengthen our faith, strengthen our relationship with you. Help us to see you in a new and exciting way. Lord, we're excited. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, question. Anyone ever felt like they were living on the outside looking in? Living on the outside looking in. I'll tell you what I mean by that, because I have felt this way many times in my life, like I was an outsider, on the outside looking in. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give you some examples. So one of my favorite movies of all time, especially for Christmas, is a movie called A Christmas Story. Who knows that movie? Put your hands up. Better be everybody. If not, let me know. I'll get you a copy of the movie. It's a lot of fun. Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun, right? It's just like, it's comedy, and you'll shoot your eye out. And it's I watched this ever since I was a kid, you know, and I grew up with it, and now my kids love it. But one of my favorite scenes is right at the beginning, where all the kids are downtown, and they're looking through that window of that toy store, right? And they see all the cool toys in there. And they got their face smashed up against the window, and it just cracks me up every time. And, you know, Ralphie's there looking at, he sees Red Ryder, you know, and the BB gun, and he's just like, oh, he's just so excited. And all he wants is that Red Ryder BB gun, you know what I mean? But all those kids are essentially on the outside looking in. They want to be inside. They want those toys, and they want to have fun with it. And that was like the example of window shopping at that time, right? It's a little different now. We can actually go into the stores and window shop. I was window shopping just the other day, during Christmas time, and I walked into the Lego store, you know what I mean, at the Village. I love the Lego store. I love Legos. And so I walked in there, and I'm just excited, and I see all these awesome displays. And one of my favorite, there is a display in there of the Rivendell, that place in the Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you know the Lord of the Rings, but it's just this massive display, and they had it built, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just gushing over it, and I said, I want that, you know? And I looked down at the price, and it's $400-something. And I felt a lot like I was on the outside looking in, you know what I mean? Because there was no way I could ever afford that. I wanted it, but I couldn't afford it, and I was bummed out. And then I went over and I looked at all the Star Wars stuff, and there's the Death Star and the X-Wing fighter and all that stuff, and I got excited, and those were 200, starting at 200 up, and I just felt defeated, like, gee, Lord, woo. You know what I mean? And then I see some guy picking up a big box with the Death Star, and he's taking it up to the counter, and I'm like, oh. He was on the inside. You know, I wasn't. Or, you know, there's many times I've been driving down the road, and I like to golf, but I'm a terrible golfer. I think most of us are in that category. But I like to golf, and, you know, I'll drive past one of those country clubs, right? And the gates are shut. It's just members only. You know what I mean? It's like, and, you know, I start thinking, oh, I wonder what it would be like to be a member of that place and to play on those pretty greens. And, you know, I was on the outside looking in, just kind of dreaming about what that would be like. I'll never join one of those places, but it's a thought. Or, and this is, when I think about this, it breaks my heart. Think about all the people that drive by this church every day. Sundays, especially. And they see Living Hope Bible Church, and they think to themselves, oh, I could never go in there. They would never let a person like me in. They're on the outside looking in. Maybe they wish they can come through the doors, but something in them says, no, you stay on the outside. And you only dream about maybe going in. And folks, that breaks my heart to think about something like that. That's the worst example on feeling like you're on the outside looking in. But here's what I would really want us to embrace this morning and think about is Jesus doesn't want us to live on the outside looking in. He wants us to live from the inside out. He wants us to live from the inside. And so when we look out, we see people in need. We see people who are worth saving, worth knowing, worth loving. He wants us to live our life from the inside out. And that's what I want to talk about today. Today, as we look at Acts chapter 3, we're going to discover three ways to live from the inside out. Now, we're jumping back into the book of Acts. We were going through it, and we got through up to chapter 2, right? And then we took a little break for Advent, for the holiday seasons. So now Jason gets to take us back into Acts chapter 3, which I'm really excited about. But I do want to just kind of recap, because maybe some of you have totally forgot what we've talked about, because it's been about a month or so. And then maybe some of you have just walked in for the first time, and you're like, Acts, what's that? So just to give you a little recap, we're going through the book of Acts. Now, who wrote the book of Acts? Luke wrote the book of Acts. Luke is a physician. He's a historian. He was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He knew Peter. So he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. So a lot of Luke's material, I'd say just about all of it, and some of his eyewitness accounts with, well, not with Jesus, but with being with the apostles, he got his information, and so he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote Acts. And so in antiquity, those books were one together, but we have split them up now, and thus we have the New Testament. So Luke wrote Acts, and historically it's been called the Acts of the Apostles, but if you want my personal opinion, it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells the believers and gives them the power to preach the gospel and to get the church, the birth of the church, the early church. And so, if we look at Acts chapter 1 that we went through, we see that the apostles, the disciples, are all still with Jesus, and they're hanging out with him. Jesus is still with them, but he's about ready to go back to the Father, And he says, look, I want you to stay here in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will come. You will be filled with power in the Holy Spirit. And then you will go and you will be my witnesses in all the world. He says, stay here. So I got to go back to the Father, but stay here because you've got work to do. So that's what they did. Jesus ascends. The disciples stay in Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit come. There's a rushing wind. There's a thunderous thunder. I mean, everyone takes notice. It's amazing. And the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? This allowed them, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, allowed them to do miraculous things. One of the first things they did was they spoke in other tongues, in known languages. At that time, it was the celebration of Pentecost. So there were many Jews from all over the known area. They came and they descended upon Jerusalem. They were all Jewish, but they spoke different languages because they're from different regions. And so the Holy Spirit allowed the apostles to speak in other languages. Why? So they could hear the gospel, so they could understand who Jesus was. And so this happened. It was amazing. Peter shares about Jesus. People are amazed. And then all of a sudden, people are giving their life to Christ. The church was birthed. They were adding to their numbers daily. They were celebrating God. They were preaching about Jesus. They were teaching. They sold all they had. They enjoyed fellowship with one another, meeting with each other, breaking bread with each other. And they were enjoying the favor of all people. Beautiful, right? And now we get to Acts chapter 3. So what I want to do is I want to read Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Those will be the verses that we're going to be looking at today and unpacking. So let's read this together. It'll be on your screen if you would also grab your Bibles if you have those. And let's dive into God's Word. Again, this is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And it says this, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour," that's about 3 o'clock, "and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Wow, isn't that awesome? I wish I was there to see that. What's going on here? Let's unpack this a little bit. Okay, so we see Peter, we see John going to the temple at the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. They're going there to pray, right? So what we might ask ourselves, why were they going to the temple? Weren't they, you know, believers in Christ and things were made new? Yes, but also we have to remember, if you don't know this, early believers, you know, were all primarily Jewish. So they were still following a lot of the Jewish customs, like going to the temple or a synagogue to pray at certain hours of the day. So what we're seeing is the old ways of temple worship, they were slowly but surely giving way to the new way of worship. Now, Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, when he was at, when he was in Samaria, talking to the woman at the well, she was asking, "Lord, where's the right place to worship? Is it here in Samaria or is it at the temple in Jerusalem? I'm confused." And he says to her, and I'm paraphrasing, it won't matter. Soon it won't matter where you pray, the location, because you're going to pray and worship in the Spirit. Jesus is saying, you're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be worshiping from the inside out. And you can do that anywhere, friends. It doesn't have to be at a temple. It doesn't even have to be here. You can do it in your own homes, because the Spirit is the one guiding you in worship and praise. This is inside out worship, because it's who's in you rather than where you are. So they come up to the temple. They find a man, a beggar, right? His physical disablement kept him in poverty. He sat at the gate, the beautiful gate. Now you have to remember, the Jews were very generous. This was a thing that they did. And so he sat at this beautiful gate, begging for money. He was looking for the generosity of others, and certainly, I'm sure he got it. Peter walks up, and he says, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Isn't that awesome? So we have to ask ourselves, what was this man's greatest need? I mean, talking about getting what you need, not what you want. What a great example. What was this man's greatest need? Was it really money? Because no doubt at that time, and certainly just as true today, we need money to live, to eat, for provision, for shelter, for clothes, etc., etc. Money's important. But was it this man's greatest need at this particular moment? Because I would imagine, it's, again, back then just as true today, it's easy to fall in the idea that money is the best way to change our position from being on the outside looking in. If we only had a high-paying job, if we only had this, if we only had that, right? This will change our position from the outside looking in. I think about Shohei Ohtani. Who knows who this guy is? Oh, okay, so if you don't know who Shohei Ohtani is, he's a Major League Baseball player, Japanese Major League Baseball player, and trust me, he's an awesome baseball player. But he was a free agent after this last season, right? And everyone was saying, this guy's going to demand some crazy money, right? Because baseball is, like, they give crazy money away, and it's all guaranteed. But anyways, so he was just given the richest contract in all of sports history. The Dodgers gave him, check this out, $700 million over 10 years.
$700 million.
Who needs that kind of money, man, to live? Blows me away. Now, you know what? He's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But that is insane. Come on. That is insane. Makes me wish I would have had taken T-ball a little more seriously. You know what I mean? It's insane. Now, perhaps Peter didn't actually have silver and gold. You know what I mean? Maybe he did. Maybe he had a couple coins jiggling around in his pocket. I don't know. But either way, he was trying to make a point. Money wasn't what the beggar truly needed to change his position. And the same is true today. Money isn't what we truly need to change our position. What we really need is healing from Christ Jesus. Let me remind you what Jesus said in Luke, in the Gospels. Luke chapter 5, let's look at this. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Folks, that tells me our true sickness is our sin. Our true sickness is our rebellion. And that separates us from a holy God. And in Romans it says, none of us are righteous. Not one. All have fallen away. No one chooses to do right. That's the truth about our sickness. And living life from the outside looking in is living life separated from a holy God. But God invites us to live from the inside out by repenting of our sin and putting our faith in Christ Jesus. Living from the inside out starts with following Jesus, folks. Living from the inside out starts with following Jesus. Peter knew what that man truly needed. He knew. It wasn't money. It was forgiveness. That's what he really needed, because money is temporary, but forgiveness is eternal. And Peter knew it's not just about this one man. Peter knows it's a worldly mission. It wasn't just this one man that had the sickness. It was a lot of the Jews at large. The truth about the Jews at this time is, whether they knew it or not, they were living from the outside looking in. Why? Because they were still living under the law, which the Bible tells us cannot save anyone. The law is good. The law is perfect. The law is holy because it comes from a holy God. But the Bible says the law cannot save anyone. But what the law truly does, the Old Testament law, it just shows us how sinful we really are and how we can't live up to it. This is a sobering thought, I think. The law only reveals our sinful nature. And so their lives were spent living under the law in hope that if they did it pretty good, they did their best, it would save them. It would assure them eternal life. But that's not the truth. And folks, it's not the truth today. Is our present time and culture any different than what the Jews were thinking? We have so many beliefs out there today, don't we, about who God is. You know? We make God in our own image. We make God who we need Him to be to fit our own personal beliefs and ideals. We have so many different ideas about how we get to heaven. Most popular, if I'm just good enough, the good outweighs the bad, God will let me in. Right? Each position hoping that they got it right. But Jesus says this in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen. The free gift. Best gift ever. Trumps every gift you got for Christmas this year. Is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Man, that's good news. Once we accept Jesus, ding, ding, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We are reborn by the Spirit of God. We are brand new. Our life is indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we begin to be changed from the inside out. We don't live from a position anymore when we're in Christ of being on the outside trying to get in. That's done. We now live life eternally secured, eternally sealed, from the inside looking out. And this new reality changes our hearts and our minds. Well, at least it should. And this change reveals itself in the way we see God, in the way we love God, in the way we see and we treat ourselves, because God created us, and the way we see and we treat others, at least it should. Peter saw this man. Look at me. You know, when you look in someone's eyes, you're really seeing them. He saw his need, and in Jesus' name, the beggar received something he never expected. Can you imagine? Can I get some money? Oh, let me heal you. He was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is so important, folks. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter didn't say, in the name of Peter, rise up and walk. By my power, rise up and walk. I have said it, therefore it must be. Rise up and walk. If I ever say in the name of Jason, throw me out that door. Peter made sure that this man knew exactly by whose power he would walk. Living from the inside out means always giving God the glory. Peter wasn't living for himself anymore. He didn't need to show how great he was. He didn't need to virtue signal on Facebook or social media. I used to be this ordinary fisherman, but now I'm the man. I'm the new front man of the Jesus Band. He knew it wasn't by his power, his awesomeness, his might, right, that this man would be healed. He knew it wasn't by his power and his might and his awesomeness that the mission that Jesus had him on would be fulfilled. He didn't need to steal any of God's glory. Why? Because he was no longer living from the outside looking in. When we live from the outside looking in, we live with this mentality of I or me. I have. You ever said, I need this? You ever said, I deserve this? I don't like this. This needs to change. I want this. I should get this. It's not fair that they have this. They can't take this from me. This is mine. I've said that. Reminds me of a story. So before I came here, myself, my family, we lived in Sherwood, Oregon for 16 years. And we went to a church. The same church for 16 years. For about, I would say, 12 of those 16 years, I was in ministry there, started off as Woodhaven Community Church. And then in 2014, we attached ourselves to a church called Horizon Community Church, and we became a multi-site. We became a campus, one of three. I was the worship pastor at that time, and all of a sudden, we had like three new worship pastors, and we had a worship director who was over all of us from the main campus, the mothership. You know what I mean? Mothership calls the shots. And so that was weird, but is what it is. So they were really into like excellent music. I mean, oh my goodness. And so they said, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to write like 10 original songs, and we want to make an album. I'm like, yeah, okay. Sounds like fun. But here's the thing. They didn't ask Jason to be a part of that album. I'm like, wait a second. It's like they cherry-picked all like the incredible, incredible, incredible like musicians and singers. All right, and they said, Jason, you're good, but you're not that good. And so we don't want you to be part of this. And I'm like, well, aren't I a worship pastor over here? You know, it was like a head scratcher. I didn't get it. And I thought, I should be a part of that album. I should be making music with those guys. This isn't fair. Kind of had that outside looking in mentality. But I was missing something. And God helped me see it. I had to like go to him and say, Lord, what is up? I'm really struggling here. I was missing the truth that God had me exactly where he wanted me. I realized that if I had been a part of that, it would have put a lot on my plate, more than I really had time for. In fact, I was doing a good work over there at the Sherwood campus, leading worship, raising up new worship leaders, mostly the youth, and just I had a mission, man. God had assigned me to a mission, and I needed to stay focused on it, and I needed to remember that it was critical, and what I was called to do was very specific. So stay in your lane, Jason. Don't worry about what you're not a part of. Worry about what I have you a part of, and trust me. So I stopped living on the outside looking in, and I started living from the inside out, and everything changed. You know, I got over it. The album didn't even do that well. It was okay. It wasn't bad, actually. It was kind of pretty good. You know, living from the inside out is just having this perpetual heart to give God thanks for all he's put on you, all he's given you. You know what I mean? Like every day, God, you are so good. Thank you for what you've given me. You fill my life with such good things. You're always working, God, even when I don't see it. Even when I'm a knucklehead, you know, like you're always working. You give me wonderful opportunities. Thank you. You call me to a wonderful place, a wonderful position. I don't have to wasting my time wondering, God, are you holding out on me? He's faithful in his calling. And you know what? He's faithful when he calls us out. This is, I think, one of my biggest struggle is like, does anyone ever have like the fear of like someone's going to take something from you, like your position away? You know, something that you worked really hard for and now it's yours, but all of a sudden there's someone comes along and is like, you feel like they're going to take it, you know? Yeah, I think that's a pretty common struggle. Again, tell you a story. So back to the Sherwood campus. So there was a point that my old lead pastor came to me. He said, Jay, I have a friend who has a son who is incredibly talented musically and vocally. I want to bring him out to our campus so he can intern. And I'm like, whoa. Okay, and he goes, here, check out this YouTube video of him. So he shows you this video of this kid just oh my goodness, playing this song that he wrote, and he was like the next Shawn Mendes or Justin Bieber or at least the Jonas Brothers guy. I mean, some of you don't know who I'm talking, you have no idea who these people are. But he was like incredibly just talented. And I'm like, whoa, this guy's gonna take my job. And I got a little worried. So he came out. I kind of struggled with it a little bit. But again, God has a way of helping us see things clear. I was falling into that living on the outside in mentality, like someone's gunning for my job. You know, who is this kid who thinks he knows it all? But it wasn't me who appointed myself as the worship pastor, and it certainly wasn't me who was going to call me out. That was all God. In fact, when they asked me the worship pastor, I said, no, I don't want to do it. You got the wrong guy. But finally, God said, no, I'm calling you. So you know, I just obeyed. Why was I so worried? Because I was on the outside looking in. Living on the outside looking in is kind of living in fear that someone's going to take something from you. So God, help me see that living from the inside out. Man, I can just serve freely. You know, with joy and confidence. That I serve a good God who knows what he's doing. And here's the awesome part. Me and that kid, we became great friends. What an amazing guy. So humble. So he came to learn. I'm like, I can't teach you anything, you know, musically and vocally. But I could teach him how to be a better worship leader. I could teach him some leadership skills, things like that. He was still very young. But we were very much iron sharpening iron. I learned so much from that guy. He was a great talent. And he didn't even want to stay there. You know, he's like, no, are you kidding me? I'm going back to Chicago, and then I'm going to go to Nashville, and I'm going to start my music career, and that's going to be my, you know, I feel like that's the track God's got me on. I'm like, that's awesome, man. What can I do to help you get there? You know? Living from the inside out is not being threatened by someone, you know? But being able to freely learn and enjoy someone. And it's been my goal to live my life this way. I mean, that has been my goal. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, especially when things get tough. Because I can let things creep into my mind that aren't healthy, you know, that would trip me up and cause me to start shifting back to the outside-in mentality. God doesn't want us there. So there are a few things that I do when I start to go down that road. Maybe this will help you. If you feel like maybe you're there right now, or maybe, you know, like, okay, I can go there pretty easy. What do I do? Well, when this gets into my head and I start to worry, I'm really quick to bring it to God in prayer. Just lay it out before him. Say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. I need your help. And I'm really quick to jump into Scripture. Get God's word in my heart, because God's word, isn't it great how God's word reminds us who we are and who we belong to? I mean, it rights the ship. So I quickly do that too. And then I'm quick to get counsel from godly people. I just like to like articulate things and wrestle with things. Something's on my heart. You know, because if it gets stuck up here and I can't articulate it and wrestle with someone, it just stays up here and I get deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole. You know what I mean? It's not a good place to be. I have no real confidence in handling those kind of thoughts and fear on my own. I need God. I put my confidence in Jesus. Putting our confidence in Jesus is living from the inside out. And Peter, he was confident in Jesus. He obeyed the Holy Spirit. You know, can you imagine, like, Peter's walking up and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, in the name of Jesus, call healing out for that man. I mean, that's, you better make sure you hear clearly from the Lord if you're going to do that. You know what I mean? He obeyed the Spirit and offered healing in Jesus' name. And he took no glory for himself. And the man was healed. Let's pick it up in verse 7. And he took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and he began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and he recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Picture that in your mind. Living from the inside out means being contagious for Jesus. When God does something big in your life, don't waste it. Celebrate it. Rejoice. Share about it. Tell people, like, this is what God did in my life. It's amazing. You know? This man was healed so he could recognize who Jesus really was. And he can give his heart to Jesus. I mean, if you were healed all of a sudden by Jesus, don't you think he did it so you would say, oh my gosh, this is, Jesus is, like, He's it. He's God. Oh my goodness. I just want to tell the world. He was so overjoyed. I mean, wouldn't you be if something like that happened to you? He was walking and leaping and praising God. Imagine if we would do that in worship. You know? Next week, Pastor Matt's going to ask us all to jump around and, right, and just go crazy for Jesus. He probably won't, but man, is there anything wrong with getting giddy for God? It's easy to worship God and give thanks to God when we're here corporately together inside these walls. What about on the outside of those walls? What changes? Question. Is our life a constant display of the goodness of God inside these walls, outside these walls? Do people see us out there, the way we're living our lives, the way we're treating people on the street? Yeah? Are they filled with wonder and amazement? Oh my goodness, what's up with this person? Oh, they love Jesus? Well, I better get to know that guy. Do they want what we have? Jesus said, we got to be salt and light. We got to proclaim the goodness of Jesus. We got to make an impact for this world. That's our mission, to draw people to Jesus. To live like Jesus. And it's not easy. Let's be honest. We don't always reflect Jesus in a great way, do we? Come on. This is church. We can be honest. I don't. I'm not always on my Jesus game. Especially when I drive. Yeah, I can get a little... I'm not proud of it. I'm working on it. I lived in California for 8 years in Southern California, so I blame it on Southern California, okay? You know what I love about being here is everybody's such, they're so nice behind the wheel. Everyone's so, you know, they're just courteous. They let you in. They don't cut you off. They don't honk at you. You don't get the bird much. Isn't that nice? What is it with people around here? However, Chris did say, like, some guy didn't mean to cut off. Maybe he did. He didn't think he did, but this guy got really, really ticked off. He showed some road rage, and he was following Chris around a little bit, and he was giving him the burry and all that stuff. It's like, wow, must be from California. I don't know. Living life from the inside out, it's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey. It's a slow and steady race. And like that song we sang about that crown that waits for us at the end of the journey. Yeah, that's what's awaiting. A crown of glory. When we see Jesus face to face, it's waiting for us. But we got to live this life right now. And this life is a gift, is it not? It's a gift. And every day, God is working in us, right? He's transforming our life each day from glory to glory, the Bible says. Every day we're being transformed. Our hearts and minds are in this constant state of being renewed so that we can better see and experience God for who He really is. We can cherish and we can embrace with all of our heart that personal relationship that God gives us through Christ Jesus. He's helping us day by day to see others as He sees them. Right? To have a heart for others like He has for us and He has for them. And we're going to stumble, folks. That's why Jesus died for us. Get lost in the weeds a little bit. Don't get discouraged. Doesn't God have a great way of picking us up, dusting us off, and say, stay in the race. I got you. Stay the course. Invite the worship team up as we close. I just want to remind you what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8. He says, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. What does that mean? That you are eternally secure. That you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you have all you need to live life from the inside out. You have all you need because the Holy Spirit is in you. And finally, the Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The work has begun. When you say yes to Jesus, the work begins. And it's a journey, right? And it's a day-by-day journey. There's no shortcuts. God is working each day. And when you see him face to face, it'll be complete. And then your new journey begins. But what a blessing that right now, God gives us the incredible gift and blessing to live our lives from the inside out. Let's pray. No other name by which we are saved than the name of Jesus. No other transforming power in our lives than God Almighty. No other truth, no other hope than Jesus Christ. No other way, no other life than Jesus Christ. No other way to live life from the inside out than through Christ Jesus. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you have bestowed upon us, the new life that you give through your death and resurrection, that we who place our faith in you are forgiven, we're made right, we are given new life, our relationship is restored to God the Father. We are no longer enemies or on hostile ground. We are no longer on the outside looking in. We are on the inside looking out. Jesus Christ. No other name. No other power. No other hope. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to apply these words to our life today. See you in new and wonderful ways. We give you all the glory, all the praise, Jesus. Thank you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.